From the day that Jesus was crucified, spent 40 days with his disciples and many other people, he said to his disciples, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait until you receive the promise of the Father. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost when the 120 were up in the upper room, gathered together with one accord. And then the Spirit of God just come and lighted on each one of them as cloven tongues of fire. And 120 who were present were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was radicalized, wasn't he? Because he preached the gospel for the very first time. All that shyness, all that attitude he'd had, all the guilt he'd felt since he'd denied Jesus was all gone, because he's now filled with the Holy Spirit and with power and with the anointing of the fire of God upon his life. So 50 means 50. Now there were instructors, as I've already said, by Jesus to go back. They'd seen him raised from the ground and disappear into the clouds. And he had given this promise, don't leave Jerusalem until. Sometimes we forget this until. We as Christians, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want to be a witness for Jesus, then you need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Just as the 12 and the 120 needed to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Don't leave until. Some Christians who have been seeking to be filled with the Spirit don't seem to have been filled with the Spirit and they give up. Well, I can't baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I can pray with you according to what the Bible instructs us. I can baptize you with water. We have a baptismal tank. If you haven't been baptized, why not? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be baptized in water. But John says, I baptize you with water. But his one coming is greater than I am. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In Luke 3, John tells his position as just a baptizer of people in water. He wasn't the Messiah. Other people thought he was, but he wasn't. He made it quite clear that he wasn't. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So what he's saying here, I'm not the Messiah, I'm his forerunner. I'm introducing him to you. He said, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And of course, when Jesus came down and were baptized by John, the heavens were open. And a dove descended upon him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but also with fire and intensity. We know that fire purifies. But Jesus knew what they would need most of all. He wanted to instill in them his vision for the spread of the good news. The good news being himself. That had come into this world, went around doing good, and then laid his life down on the cross. They'd seen him raised on the third day, and now they saw him taken back into heaven. And he gave them a task, he gave them a vision to go into all the world and preach the gospel, starting first in Jerusalem, then in Samaria, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the whole of the world. This message was for everyone. We read this morning from Joel 2 that the Holy Spirit promise was to be upon all peoples, children and adults. Jesus saw the need of their disciples, his disciples. They needed to be filled with his Holy Spirit just as he had needed to be so he could fulfill the work that God had called him to do. He wanted them to be filled with the Holy Spirit so they would flourish and grow and become men and women of the Spirit and of the Word of God. He wanted them to go from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria and then eventually all the way around the world. But he knew they would need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit and with power and anointing. They were only interested in a dramatic change which they found themselves longing for. They wanted political change, they wanted a change in the government, and they wanted to be freed from Rome. And it seemed to have been instilled over the centuries, the Jewish mind was a Messiah was somebody who rode on a horse, waving a sword and a shield to drive out their enemies. What a shot they got when they saw Jesus riding on a donkey, coming over the brow of the hill, overlooking the city of Jerusalem and weeping over it. That's not, they didn't think like that. No, he's got to be a great man of power to drive out the Romans. And many had attempted in the past and even after the time of Jesus. But Jesus hadn't come for that. His name would be called Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. For he will save his people from their sins, not from their enemies, from their sins. He wanted to make one thing clear to them. The restoration of Israel was the Father's business, not theirs. They were to have a new vision, a new direction, a new motivation, and for that they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 in our reading says this, if I can find it quickly. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which Father had put in his own authority." They were more concerned about what was going to happen. What was just around the corner? Would they ever be free from Rome? Would they ever have an independent country once again? But he made it quite clear. That's not to be your vision. That's not to be your desire. Your desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit and take the message I'm giving you as far as you can and spread it around the world. And he says, as far as the restoration of Israel, the times and the seasons are in God's hands, not yours. And it's not your business to know. Just get on with the call that you've received on your life. We as Christians should be more concerned with the here and now and the spreading of the good news to the whosoever of our nation, in our communities, in the place where we work, even amongst our own family. That is our call. That should be our vision. And that's why we need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit to accomplish that. We can't do it in our own strength. From now on, the preaching of the gospel, the good news, took precedence over anything else. The setting up of the kingdom of Israel was not in the mind of Christ. As far as he was concerned, that was a future event that God had in his own plans. And therefore, what they should be concerned about, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being sent out from there to spread the good news. And do you know, it actually took a persecution and the death of Stephen to get them going. Because they hadn't moved. They'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and they still remained in Jerusalem. They still had their little holy huddle and did nothing until Stephen was persecuted and hounded to death. And then, generally speaking, persecution came upon the church and they were scattered far and wide. And it definitely says in Acts of the Apostles, they went around preaching the gospel. At last, they got the message and took it. The purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to make you his witness. It's not so you can wear a badge, "I'm holier than thou, I've been filled with his Holy Spirit, I'm somebody special." That's got nothing to do with it whatsoever. You've got no qualifications to be filled with the Holy Spirit except if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can be filled by God with his Holy Spirit so that you become his witness wherever you live. This was and still is our calling today, to be his witness to a sin-cursed world. You have a message that can transform people's lives, can save them and bring them into a close relationship with God, that they can be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and be added to the church just like you have been. on this day when God poured out his spirit and Peter got up and preached the gospel the first time, 3,000 souls were saved. We need to start believing for the power of God to be manifest again like that in our church and in our lives. Secondly, Christ's understanding of their present need is seen in verse 8 of our reading. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what should concern them most as his disciples, not just the 11 that was left, but everybody in the upper room, the 120, they were now called by God, filled with his Holy Spirit, and they were going to go from that place into Judea, Samaria, and eventually to different parts of the world. But they would need power, or, as some translate it says, authority to be whatever he desired them to be. We sing, of course, only to be what you wanted to be every moment of every day. And how true that is, it's still true today as it was then. Whatever he desires them to be, they would need to be filled with his Holy Spirit and with the fire of God. This word power comes from the old Greek word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. Dynamite ministry is what we need in our lives today. We don't want to be seen as just ordinary Christians, but people who are filled with God's Holy Spirit, wanting to share our lives and the Word of God with others. We want to see these people who are held in the grips of Satan set free, filled with His Spirit, moving forward in lives, being taken over by God and used for different purposes. What a wonderful thought to be translated from the darkness into the kingdom of His Son. Acts 2 verse 22, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know. We'll be dealing with this not next week, because next week is Father and Sunday. That's just an hint to anybody who's listening. And then we're going back on to the life and ministry of Jesus. Last week it was about the words of Jesus. The next one is about the signs and wonders, the works that Jesus did. It is an heavenly sent ministry. And that's something often we forget. People say, well, you're the one who's called by God because you're in the pulpit. That's absolute nonsense. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are called. Amen. And he can use you wherever you are. If you make yourself available to him, he will use you, he'll bless you, give you talents you never knew you had, and he will send you forth to proclaim the good news. Heaven sent ministry. So often Christians think, well, I can't do this, it's beyond me, it's just blow my mind to think I could do anything like this. No, you can't do it. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to recognize this is a God-sent ministry. He will fill you to overflowing and use you to carry out his will and work for other people's lives. The question is, if we are carrying out the true call of God in our lives to the world, are we being that witness? Are we really concerned with those round about us, members of our own family, people we work with, our colleagues at work, people in our community? Do we really care whether they know Jesus or not? Or are we too busy with our own lives to be concerned about it? We've got too many cares that we have of our own, too many problems and burdens to carry without bothering with anybody else. But that's the point of being born again. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the perfect and acceptable will of God, that you might go out and seek to save those that are lost, like a shepherd looking for his sheep. And we need to be empowered by him to be his witnesses for Jesus. Notice verse 4 and 5 in our reading. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard, which we had heard from Joel chapter 2. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now on. When you think of the 12 apostles, one of them denied him, one betrayed him, the rest just scattered. But here they were together, as commanded by Jesus, simply waiting upon God for God to fulfill his promise, to fulfill them with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, do you ever give it a thought? Do you ever think about, well, according to Acts, that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you spent any time in prayer seeking God that he might fill you with the Holy Spirit with the sole purpose of making you a good witness for Jesus? Try to do it on your own, it will end in failure. He wants us to be effective witnesses. If you do anything in this world, you want to be effective. You want to be good at what you do. I used to be a confectioner by trade years ago, making wedding cakes and things like that. And it was a skilled job, something I took pride in. I wanted to present to the customer a thing that was worthy of a wonderful day, like a wedding or a birthday or anniversary. And it was just nice to hear the comment, wow, you know. Well, that's, we need the wow factor in our lives today, so we need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit to make a difference, to make us effective for Jesus. Notice, Jesus, you can't move from Jerusalem until. You can't do anything. You just wait. They only waited 10 days, but they didn't know how long it would be. Wait until you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be effective witnesses. We can't move from anywhere. We can't do anything for God unless we really seek to be filled with His Spirit and ask Him to use us for His witness. Number three. I think if somebody asked me this question, what is the greatest need of the church today? I would say this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've got a little book at home that I take some ideas from for sermons to give illustrations, stuff like that. And he was talking about the power, the majesty, the miraculous workings of Jesus, the signs and wonders. And he got it down to a fine art that we're only speaking of spiritual things, he says, these days. He no longer seemed to accept the fact that God can still perform signs and wonders and miracles. And there's an awful lot of Christians have got to that state in their minds that they no longer believe that God still works miracles and signs and wonders. And we'll be dealing with this again a bit later on when we get back to the ministry of Jesus. The church today needs the moving, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in every individual who sits in a chair in a church today. If they want to be effective for Jesus, they must have that desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, it's a gift. A gift. Now, many Christians say, well, God will never ever fill me with the Holy Spirit because I'm not good enough. Well, if that's the case, I'm not good enough either, because I'm just like you. There's nothing you can do to earn or be in a position where God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. It's not necessary. You should be living a good life, of course, according to the teachings of Jesus. But other than that, there's nothing you could do to deserve. And you don't need to do it if it's a gift. Can you imagine your children on Christmas morning? They go downstairs and look under the Christmas tree and there's presents. And on the outside it's got their name and it says, you owe me so much for this. Eh? Some of your parents like to do that because the things they want, you know, cost arm and leg, don't they? But that you say, well, you wouldn't do that, would you? Because it's a gift. It's a gift. Have you seen some of these programs that around Christmas time when children get what they don't want and they scream and go into a panic and throw things about? Well, this is a gift from God to you to enable you to be empowered to be a witness for Him. That's why He wants to fill you with His Spirit. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But He wants to give it to you because it's a gift. His promises in Joel, which we read out, chapter 2, would be upon all flesh. Not just on the 120 that happened to be there on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, but it spread from there. Wherever they went, they prayed that people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Young and old alike, some would dream dreams. Some see visions. It was just an outpouring of God upon those people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. And if they sensed they needed Him, we should have the same sense today. We need Him more today than ever before, because the witness of the church in this country is declining. How do I know I need it? Well, when I look at Acts chapter 2, the predominant person on Acts chapter 2 after the infilling of the Holy Spirit was Peter. Now you would think to yourself, he's the last guy. He's the last one I would have there on a pulpit. First of all, he's a loud mouth. You know, he just don't know when to be quiet. And then when it really comes to the crunch, he was nowhere to be found. He denied Christ and ran away. But God filled him with the Holy Spirit and anointed him. And he stood up and preached to the great crowd that was there by the upper room. There was a wonderful book written. I can't remember exactly what the title of the book was, but it was written by David Kossoff. Some of the older ones here won't remember David Kossoff. He was a Jewish guy who wrote some wonderful stories. He used to be on radio quite a lot. And he wrote a book, I think it was something to do with Silvanus. And it was this Silvanus who went when he heard the rushing mighty wind to find out what was going on. If you can get hold of it, it's probably out of print a long time ago. But it's something to do with, if you see the name Silvanus and you see David Kossoff, you know you've got the right book. It's a wonderful story from a Jewish perspective, how God poured out His Spirit upon the church. In his sermon, he referred to the present outpouring as a fulfillment of that particular prophecy in Joel chapter 2. As I've already said, it's an ongoing promise. It's still not completely fulfilled. There are things in the prophecy that have not come to pass at the moment. So as far as I'm concerned, the gift of the Holy Spirit is as much for us today as it was in the days of the apostles. There are many people who don't believe that, but I sincerely do. The blessing is still for today because we as a church, we need to be committed and dedicated to His service to be a good witness for Jesus in so many different ways. It's not just speaking, but living. It is the Lord who baptizes with His Spirit, and those who are seeking His blessings and empowerment will be filled according to His promise. But we need to prepare our hearts to receive. Every nation He accepts those who fear Him and do what is right, He says in Acts 10 verse 35. So that the blessing is for everybody, all nations, all peoples, young and old alike. He refers to Jesus being filled with the Spirit and with power. As He preached the message, Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You would never have thought this guy could ever preach. You read it in Acts 2. Read his sermon. It's really tremendous. How did this guy, who was just a fisherman, preach like this? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 10 of Acts, where the people of God had got together and the message was being preached by Peter, The Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message, and they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. This was after the day of Pentecost. It was way down a few years later. God was still pouring out His Spirit upon those who believed. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Do you have faith enough to open up your heart to seek Him and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be the witness You want me to be. In conclusion, this tells me that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power so that we can carry out our mission for Him in our daily lives. There are no qualifications that you can have so that you can be filled. You just need to believe it and accept this is a gift from God. If you're a child of God, then there's no reason why He can't fill you with His Holy Spirit. The gift, according to Joel, covers all age groups, generations, men and women, old and young, from all nations. Wow. Everybody is included. We should be looking for this promise to be fulfilled in us today. We need to pray for it, expect it, and don't give up seeking until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit into your heart and life. And you will know you're filled with the Spirit because your life will be changed and turned upside down. Let's just pray. As I've already said, I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's something that God does. But I want to give you the opportunity, if you've been seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to come out the front this morning, and we're going to pray with you and expect God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Just come with an open mind and open heart and expect God to bless you. Is anybody who would like that prayer said for them this morning? Just come out to the front and we'll pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm convinced in my heart that we need to be filled with the Spirit. It says in the Bible, being filled is a continuous thing that we as Christians need to be filled over and over and over, continued filling with the Holy Spirit so we can be effective witness for Jesus. So this may be something that people haven't even considered. We call ourselves a Pentecostal church, but it seems that the message of the Pentecostal church seems to be dropping out and falling out of favor, and we're preaching a gospel that's more acceptable. Well, the only gospel I know is the one that Jesus gives us, that we need to call upon the people to repent and return to God, to confess their sins and accept Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, and to be baptized in His name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so they can be filled with the Holy Spirit, so You can make them their witnesses. And so, Lord, we need to get back to those days where we preach the full gospel. We call ourselves the full gospel church, but half time we only preach half a message. So we pray for those who are starting to see. Perhaps today You've stirred up their pure minds and they're just starting to think about it. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, stir up their pure minds and make them realize that they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If they are filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, then enable them to use the gifts of the Spirit within the fellowship. Help us to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit in our daily lives, that You may be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.